Just before we listen to another couple of excerpts, I just want to share a few thoughts on the verse that was just sung and then the other two that will be sung. David Ogilvy was the founder of Ogilvy and Mather, so the advertising agency, and he began his autobiography, Confessions of an Advertising Man, with the following words. He said, "As a child, I lived in Lewis Carroll's house in Guildford. My father, whom I adored, was a Gaelic-speaking Highlander, a classical scholar, and a bigoted agnostic. One day he discovered that I started going to church secretly. 'My dear old son,' he said, 'how can you swallow that mumbo-jumbo? It's all very well for servants, but not for educated people. You don't have to be a Christian to behave like a gentleman.'" Now, behaviour is important, but the very heart of the Christian message is belief. And that belief is not mumbo-jumbo, but it is a firm conviction about two historical events which Christians celebrate, especially at Easter, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus' death was the focus of that excerpt that we just heard sung from the Messiah. Why should we be bothered about the death of someone almost 2,000 years ago? Well, that line we've just heard sung, these words of John the Baptist about Jesus, tells us, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God who, by dying, deals with the sin of the world. David Ogilvy has spent his life advertising products. And the art of advertising is to persuade people to buy a product which at the moment they may not feel that they need. And in some ways, my job as a minister is a bit like that of an advertiser. It's to try to sell people a product, or rather a person, Jesus Christ. And the challenge is persuading people that they actually need him. As those of you who are Christian will have found yourselves in your conversations with other people. You see, Jesus is the God-given solution to a problem, the problem of sin. But if someone is not concerned about the problem, they won't be the least bit interested in the solution. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What would you say is wrong with the world? The Bible says that there is something fundamentally wrong with us as people. That God made us to live in his world with him as God, to love him, to love one another. That we reject God and we will not have him rule over us. So we think no one has the right to tell me how to live my life. It's my life, I'll do what I think best. And that is what the Bible calls sin. So rejecting God's rule. And we all do it, another line in Handel's Messiah taken from Isaiah the prophet. We all like sheep, as we've begun this service saying, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And this going our own way leaves us alienated from God now, but also in eternity under God's judgment. How can we get right with God again? How can this sin problem be dealt with? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is God's solution to this universal problem. Why is he described as a lamb? Well, animals are often used in the Bible symbolically. So we are all like sheep who wander off, we go our own way. God's enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion prowling around and seeking to devour people. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, a lamb was an animal used in sacrifice. So although the people deserved to die for their sin, God accepted the death of a lamb in their place. The lamb was a substitute. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When he died on the cross, he was dying in our place. He was taking on himself our sin, and he was paying for it. Last week, the film director, James Cameron, he went down, didn't he, in his special little submersible. into the Mariana Trench, into the deepest part of the ocean. On the cross, Jesus went down into the deepest, darkest place spiritually as he took on himself our sin and he paid for it. As it says in the prophet Isaiah, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Mocked by his enemies, as the psalm says, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him. He went down into the deepest, darkest place spiritually for you and for me. The other day, my wife, Lena, got a parking fine. Says she'd left the car on a yellow line at school pickup. She got a bit delayed and she arrived back to find this traffic warden putting a ticket on the windscreen. And she explained that she'd been delayed because, you know, our oldest child has special needs and he just wouldn't come when she asked him to come. And the traffic warden could see a predicament and he was really sorry. But in the end he said, you know, I wish I could do something, but I can't. You know, once the ticket's been written, that's that and I can't undo that. What he could have done was to pay the 60 quid fine himself. I mean, that would have been a nice touch. God is holy and just. He can't ignore our sin. He can't just rip up the ticket. If justice is not done, then God has no moral right to rule the universe. But in the death of Jesus, the Son of God, God has effectively taken out his own wallet and he's paid the penalty for us at enormous cost to himself so that we don't have to. Because of the death of Jesus in our place, God now offers us forgiveness for all our wrong and restored relationship with him. But the choice is ours. Either we allow Jesus as the Lamb of God to pay for our sin, or we pay for it ourselves, separated from God now and in eternity. On YouTube, there's a recording of a man ringing Asda customer services with a complaint. And he says he's just bought a pizza in Merthyr Tydfil. And now he's got home and he's opened it, only to find that there's absolutely nothing on it. No topping at all, not even tomato sauce. It's just bread. So he's ringing Asda customer services to complain. A few minutes into the conversation with this person at Asda, he suddenly stops. There's a moment of silence. And he suddenly realizes that what's happened is he's opened the pizza upside down. Some people think that the Bible is saying that if you live a good life, God will accept you and you will get to God. That is opening things upside down. The truth is that in Jesus, God has come down to us. He's taken on himself the sin of the world that we might have forgiveness and restored relationship with him. But the death of Jesus wasn't the end. Now, I know that traditionally on Good Friday, the focus in churches tends to be exclusively on Christ's death. But just in case you can't make it to Easter Sunday morning, I thought it would be a shame to miss this bit out. And anyway, the two events do go together as a package. 3 days later, Jesus was raised to life and has returned to heaven. And this resurrection of Christ is the theme in the two excerpts we're about to hear sung from Handel's Messiah. In those final verses from Revelation, we find that the Lamb of God, Jesus, is now worshipped in heaven for what he has done. So the words there, the chorus we're going to hear sung in a moment says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us to God by his blood to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen." Jesus is alive and he reigns with God the Father. Followers of Lenin, you know, they go to Red Square to see his embalmed body on public display, as it has been since his death in 1924. Followers of Muhammad, they go on pilgrimage to the Mosque of the Prophet in Medina, with its green dome where the prophet is buried. Followers of martial arts expert Bruce Lee, they go on pilgrimage to visit his grave in Seattle's Lakeview Cemetery, where the remains of his super fit body are interred. But followers of Jesus Christ, they have no body to go and visit. I'm sure that those of you, those who sort of look after the garden tomb in Jerusalem, don't know if you've been there, I'm sure they'd love to see you if you want to go and pay a visit. All you'll find is an empty grave. You know, there's no body. And if you get a move on, you might still be able to make it for the 6:30 morning service in English this coming Sunday. 3 days after Jesus was dead and buried, the tomb was found empty. And the risen Jesus, he appeared over a 40-day period to lots of different people, different times, different places. And his followers, who had given up hope completely when he had died, they were transformed overnight. They took the world by storm, proclaiming that Jesus had conquered death. And from that point on, the early church began, and it spread like wildfire in spite of persecution. And there is simply no explanation that fits the facts other than the one that they give, which is that they had seen the risen Jesus. His resurrection proved that he is the Son of God, that his death really has dealt with our sin, and that there is life beyond the grave. Even back in the Old Testament, we find that Job had the conviction that death was not the end. And those of you who know Handel's Messiah will know that one bit where they sing, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." But that conviction becomes rock-solid certainty with the resurrection of Jesus. As we're going to hear in a moment, since by man came death, i.e. through Adam, by man, that is through Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I don't know how often you go to the gym. Some people, I guess, who work around here, they go every day. Some go for an hour a day, every day. And, you know, it's a phenomenon that especially kicks in when you get to middle age. So like me, you know, once you get over 40, you feel a sort of sense of urgency to start to roll back the years. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with, you know, trying to keep fit. But we're fighting a losing battle. I mean, Bruce Lee, that martial arts expert, he had the reputation of being the fittest man alive. He could do 60 one-arm pull-ups. Don't know if anyone here can rival that. 60 one-arm pull-ups, if so. Shows afterwards outside. Fittest man alive. Age of 32. Falls into a coma in his Hong Kong apartment and dies very suddenly. One day, these bodies of ours will pack in. What then? Is death the end? Well, the resurrection of Jesus says no. That one day when Christ returns, we will all be raised to life. And that is why Easter is such a joyful time of celebration for us as Christians. That we have eternal hope because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One of the earliest statements of Christian belief in the church is called the Apostles' Creed. And this is how it ends. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Christians don't just have some sort of vague hope that, you know, life will continue in some spiritual form after death. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. But here's the sobering bit. It's not just followers of Jesus who will be raised. The Bible warns that a day of judgment lies ahead, and we will all be raised to appear before God, our Creator and Judge. For those who trust in Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, there is nothing to fear. Their sin is paid for by him, they are forgiven, and eternal life with God is theirs. But for those who don't trust in Jesus, there's everything to fear. Appearing before God unforgiven, being condemned by God to the separation from him that they have chosen. Easter, fantastic time for celebrating the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's also a great time for turning to him, for putting our trust in him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and who rescues us from the judgment to come. We can have another time of reflection now. And a couple of excerpts from Handel's Messiah I'm going to play. There'll be some more images on the screen. So again, feel free to either look at that or to close your eyes and pray or to read a passage from Scripture.